Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, asking the question, why wait for heaven? On 1-2 Radio, changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is April 15th, 2016. On today's show, I'm happy to welcome back writer, web designer, and ACIM teacher Bruce Rawls. Now, today we will be talking about my all-time favorite workbook lesson, 109, and which is scheduled, if you're doing them one a day, on April 19th. I rest in God. Now, I know I say that all the time, but this is my favorite workbook lesson. But this truly is, or at least it has been for a long time. The very first time I went through all the lessons, I must have spent 2 or 3 weeks on this one. I just could not let this go. I absolutely loved this lesson, and I found myself continually coming back to it, which I think as we go through it, it just makes sense that we do come back to these kinds of words. We come back to this kind of lesson time and time again. And if we're willing to bring out, you know, bring all of our stuff, bring our life to Jesus or to God or to that inner kindness teacher, when we're willing to do that, then we really are kind of working the course. We're learning the course. So this is my all-time favorite lesson, 109, I Rest in God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So you may want to grab your ACIM workbook for students, if you have one, and join us as we look at this lesson. But of course, you can just sit and enjoy your coffee or tea or whatever and listen to us talk about it. And the other thing that you can do is you can actually join us in the 12radio.com private group on Facebook. So if you're new today, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad that you found us. And if you want to go to that Facebook group, all you need to do is go to 12radio.com. That's our website. And on the left side of the page, you're going to see a link that says chat. So go ahead and just press that button and you'll be automatically redirected to a private group page on Facebook. And our producer, Scott Weaver, will let you into the group and then you can post comments or questions or just in general, you know, just participate in that way. So if you'd like to do that, we'd love to hear your comments or see your questions. So you can do that with us today too as you're listening. And by the way, you may be listening to this as an archive, which of course now we're calling our archive on demand. So if you're listening on demand, you won't find us in the chat room right now. But if you're listening live, which is Fridays at 8 a.m. Pacific, then that's where you will find us on Fridays. So let's get on with this. And hey, welcome, Bruce. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, CA. As always, I always appreciate the opportunity to share with you.
Hey, great.
Great fun. Yeah.
Well, I feel the same way. And I know that you are fresh back from Las Vegas, the Mecca of spirituality, by the way. And where you were attending an ACIM conference of some sort. And I know that this is not what we're going to talk about today because you said you wanted a little bit of time to kind of process that and to think about some of those things. But you want to tell us anything about what you were doing in Las Vegas? I mean, other than, you know, the obvious?
Well, actually, it was kind of a last-minute thing. The Miracle Share folks, Craig, Corinne, and Danielle, if anybody has checked out those, they have a wonderful online conference every fall, and I've been fortunate to have participated in the last two. So if you go to miracleshare.org, you can see all the wonderful work they're doing. Anyway, they had a raffle because Danielle apparently had an extra ticket, and one of the three movers and shakers of that organization, and because she couldn't attend. So they made a raffle, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just throw my hat in the ring, put my email address, and got a email a couple of weeks later from them, said, hey, you won the raffle. So I thought, well, okay, I guess I'm supposed to go to Las Vegas.
Nice.
And so I'd gone to the previous ones, the two most recent ones in San Francisco, and it was great fun. You know, you see all lots of different course folks and teachers, and always a joy and a delight to attend those. So I thought, well, I guess I get to go.
Yeah,
because I hadn't planned on it, and I just thought, well, all right, let's go.
Yeah, and, well, will you tell us a little bit more about that? So you say they do it every year? They do it once a year, twice a year?
It's actually it's kind of alternated between every other year and every year. The last few years they've been doing it yearly, but the next one is for 2018, and it'll be back in San Francisco. I think they had three in San Francisco. I'm not sure before that where if any they had. Then they had a couple in New York and Chicago, which I wasn't able to attend, and then this last one in Las Vegas. And it was a lot of fun. They usually have about 400 or 500 people, 600, something, whatever their capacity is. And so you get people from all over the world, including they even had quite a number of people from Japan with a translator and a little booth off to the side of the main lecture hall. And then they have breakout sections and plenary sessions and a bookstore. It's just a lot of fun. It's a great way to connect with people if you want to do that in person, which is always fun to do once in a while. And so that's put on by the Community Miracle Center, and they have a ministerial program in San Francisco. And so that's what they do. But anyway, it was just a lot of fun. And as always, we can use anything and everything as a forgiveness opportunity and a learning opportunity. I like what Gary Renard says. You know, it says if you're not feeling discomfort and there's nothing to forgive, then celebrate. So I was doing a lot of celebrating because, you know, it was just a lot of fun hanging out with people. And then there was always the opportunity to look at things that I wanted to be different in any situation. I think you can look at the contents of your mind in any circumstance, and you know, use every single opportunity as a means to boost the process of returning home from where we never left, right? And so this was no exception. And anyway, it was wonderful, fun to connect with friends new and old, and I look forward to more. In fact, one of the things that I'd like to let people know about, that's a brand new website. I met with four of the people there that are involved in a new website called myacim.com. And if you go to myacm.com/awake, you can create a free user account there and list your study groups or events and network, and they've got forums, and it looks like a really promising resource. So I'm going to actually have a conversation later on with one of the founders this morning, and how can we help each other and make this all really cool?
Yeah, really.
I encourage people to check that out. Just myacm.com/awake is the kind of the early way to get into the site and explore. So.
Okay. And I have a technical question for you.
Okay.
Because you sent me the link and I went in and I created a user ID. Okay. So then I immediately tried to sign on and it said it didn't recognize me. So my question is, I mean, maybe I just made a mistake, but do you actually have to be accepted or something like that? So was I just trying to get in too early because it needed to be accepted?
I don't know. Why don't you email me what happened? And maybe a screen snapshot or two or whatever, and then I'll ask that question later this morning.
Okay. As soon as we are finished recording, I will go ahead and try to sign on again.
Okay.
And see what happens, because I know on some websites, if you create a user ID, you actually have to wait for somebody to come along and accept you.
Right.
So
right.
I thought, well, maybe that's what it is, and you know, either that or I just typed it wrong and I was being impatient. So I thought I'd at least ask the questions. So.
Okay. Well, I know this is brand new site, and there's still things that are, you know, obviously being finished and worked out. So it's, you know, be forgiving as always.
Right.
But if there is an issue, if you can't resolve it, let me know and I'll pass it along. And there's probably a mechanism for that as well that I haven't, because I'm just brand new to it as well.
And there's a good chance I just was typing so fast that when I went back to sign in, I didn't do it correctly. Mm-hmm. You know how that is. So, you know, I was just trying to check it out because you had sent me the link and I wanted to know more about it. So if I have a problem, I will definitely let you know.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay. And thank you for passing that along, because I was thinking that kind of stuff is so good, because
it is.
I would love to post, you know, what we're talking about on this particular show every week, so that if people wanted to listen in, or there again, if they wanted to grab it from the on-demand section and listen later, that would be wonderful.
Exactly. So I'm envisioning this as an adjunct to all the other great course-related sites out there, and hoping that, you know, the people and the organizations that have ongoing and or one-time events and classes and all the study groups, and which, you know, obviously you could, the Miracles Distribution Center has a great resource for study groups, but there's lots of other aspects to that that this, you know, the potential is staggering and fun to explore. So anyway, so that was one of the things that I was actually most enthused about, and I heard some great presentations by, you know, a lot of great teachers of the course that people would be familiar with, but I won't go into any great detail on that because I could take the whole hour.
Okay. All right. Well, and just as an aside, but I mean, I guess it's slightly related. I always kind of jokingly say that about Las Vegas being the mecca of spirituality. Well, but one of the reasons is, you know, and this just goes to show you, you know, you can't judge. You have to keep your mind open all
exactly,
the time.
Exactly.
Because I have a beautiful, and I mean an absolutely gorgeous statue of Kuan Yin that's probably about 12 or 14 inches high. And I mean, it's just one of those things that to me, the first time I saw it, it was breathtaking. And I found it in a gift shop in a hotel in Las Vegas.
There you go.
And I mean, it's like, who knew? You know, I literally walked into this gift shop in one of the hotels and I saw it sitting on a shelf. And I was just like, oh my God, I have to have that. So of course I purchased it and wrapped it all up and very carefully brought it back home. And but you know, to this day, I just think it was so funny because I have yet to ever see a statue of Kuan Yin that I thought was as beautiful as that one. And as you can imagine, I mean, I'm in a lot of metaphysical stores and, you know, on those kind of websites and that kind of thing. And it's like, who knew? I mean, you know, Las Vegas.
Yeah. Maybe you could post a picture on your website or something.
Oh yeah. Maybe I should. Cause I mean, she is.
Why not do it justice, but
she's absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, since then I have seen similar ones that I would say are made from the same sculpture. You know, somebody obviously made a sculpture and then they've mass produced them. But most of them are always done. They're just not as colorful. They're just not as beautiful as mine. That's just all there is to it. They're just not as beautiful as the one that I found in that gift shop. So
no specialness whatsoever, right?
Yeah. Oh, no specialness whatsoever. So you just never know. Yeah, just never know where, you know, something is going to come to you or, you know, where, you know, to use kind of old terminology, where a blessing will come from. Right? You know?
Yeah.
How your life can be enriched by a variety of things. So
certainly, and allowing peace to not be constrained by form.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Including geographic form.
That's right. The message will find its way in whatever form that you can listen to it, in whatever form that you will accept it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think about Lesson 109? I know you seemed kind of excited when I suggested it.
I love it too. I mean, the two words that come to mind when I think about it and as I reread it again and again and again are deep peace. You know, it's just the profound relaxation. I mean, words really kind of fail because the quality of this lesson, and I think this is one of many parts of the course, really all of it, if we're paying attention, I suppose, that really wash over us. And when I first read it, it was like, oh my gosh, the quality and the feeling behind this that transcends really what we think of as feeling even, is the knowingness and the innocence and the completeness of the identity that's really beyond identity. That we all share, that is our heritage, our birthright, and our destiny. And wow. So, yeah, I mean, I probably would do well rather than hint at it to read some of it. What do you think?
Yeah. And I would just, you know, say right up front, this is one of those lessons that to me almost reads like poetry. And yet it is so important to not get hung up on the words. It's important to not see these phrases as literal, but to understand what they mean. But I think they are so incredibly powerful because even as I listen to the words, as I see the words and think about the images that they elicit, like you said, it resonates. It resonates deep within as peace, as love. And you know, so if it's an analogy or, you know, words like this that can help me do that, then all the better, but not get hung up on the literalness of it. So yeah, let's read it. Do you want to start with the first paragraph?
Sure. I'll start. Lesson 109, I rest in God. We ask for rest today and quietness unshaken by the world's appearances. We ask for peace and stillness in the midst of all the turmoil born of clashing dreams. We ask for safety and for happiness, although we seem to look on danger and on sorrow. And we have the thought that will answer our asking with what we request.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. I mean, just again, just letting those words wash through us and just like a soothing balm through our mind, you know, of comfort and remembrance and the quality that we know we never left. And just one more thing that touches what you just said before I read the paragraph, you know, to the literalness of the words. Sometimes I'm struck with the thought that, you know, again, how the Course suggests that we have everything upside down, inside out, and backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And what we think of as metaphors, because we're so unaccustomed to identifying with the mind, and we're so in, you know, like Ken says, you know, we're far, you know, more identified with our bodies and our finite selves than we realize. We think that the mental is a metaphor, and the physical is literal.
Right.
And yet it's the opposite. I mean, we're walking symbols. These holographic projections that seem to have accumulated and aggregated into clusters of atoms and molecules and cells and tissues and organs and bodies and planets and galaxies, you know, those are symbols. They are dynamic symbols projected from a mind that only have reality when we believe in them. And we forget that because we're so talented at making up a projected universe. And we've practiced this for how many lifetimes that we think this is the real deal. And I think this, you know, this isn't a very scientific lesson, but I think it's kind of fun to integrate the inspirational and the you know, maybe might say more left brain kind of stuff of realizing in a very mindful approach that looks with reason at what even our you know, frontier science in terms of quantum physics has shown us, that, you know, this really is a hologram. We're moment to moment projecting and participating and getting feedback from a hologram in our mind that really is unsubstantial. It is the metaphor.
Right.
So that actually, when we have those flashes of remembrance of that, on that level, it can tie into the more mystical, meditative, poetic aspects of a workbook lesson like this, and I think help anchor it from both directions.
Yes. Good point. Very good point. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. In paragraph 2, it says, "I rest in God. This thought will bring to you the rest and quiet, peace and stillness, and the safety and the happiness you seek. I rest in God. This thought has power to wake the sleeping truth in you, whose vision sees beyond appearances to that same truth in everyone and everything there is." Which is sort of what you were just saying, mm-hmm. You know, to just look beyond the appearances. Here is the end of suffering for all the world and everyone who ever came and yet will come to linger for a while. Here is the thought in which the Son of God is born again to recognize himself.
Beautiful.
And, yeah. And of course, what's important here is to, once again, to look beyond some of the words. Although when it says, you know, to those who have come to linger here for a while, I always think, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. And yet there is no time. You know, time is the illusion. But once again, he recognizes we think we're here. We think we have come. Not only are we lingering, but oftentimes it feels like we're languishing, you know, we're just, you know, hanging out.
Yeah. And I, as you were reading that, I was thinking, wow, what a great example of countless in this book of where the writing is simultaneously profound, poetic, mystical, and at the same time extremely pragmatic. Because,
yes.
I mean, if you look at, you know, it says this thought, the fourth sentence, this thought has the power to wake the sleeping truth in you, whose vision sees beyond appearances to that same truth in everyone and everything there is. Well, there's the seed right there of our very pragmatic forgiveness classroom, because if we see the innocence and the, as Gary Renard's Fearless Love audio suggests, I keep coming back to that because that's so helpful, you know, the all of spirit in everyone, that there's not one note in heaven's song was missed, and that applies to everyone and everything that we could gaze upon. That gives us our forgiveness classroom, you know, right, generalized to the max, because that we can apply that to anything and everything, and of course suggests that we do, and that in fact is how we return from a nightmarish existence to the opposite that's beyond opposites, which is the perfect peace that we never left.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, I want to address that last line where it says, in which the Son of God is born again to recognize himself. Because of course, within Christianity or within certain genres or groups, that born again has something to do with, specifically accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior or whatever. I don't remember the lingo. Mm-hmm. But it's so important to know that when you see a phrase like this, the Son of God is born again, what they're talking about is you're reborn because you remember that you have a mind.
Exactly.
You remember that you can choose. And when in the moment you choose the inner kindness teacher, you choose to see something else, you are literally born again.
Right.
But that's the born again that they're talking about.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those phrases, if you took it out of context, somebody go, oh, well, they're talking about that born again Christianity. And that's not it. It's we're born again because we remember who we are. We recognize ourselves as the divine beings.
Yes, yes.
You know?
And that also brings up another really important point for people reading A Course in Miracles, is that one of the things that it accomplishes, and brilliantly so, and I think you had a great conversation, if I recall, with Doug Sparks on one of your programs, about how, you know, the conventional religious terms are completely redefined, turned inside out and upside down, just like everything else that the ego does. Not to suggest that conventional religion is only ego, but that it tends to be a cult of specialness, and without looking at it. But we can take those same words and apply new definitions that relate to the Course's pure non-dual metaphysics, and amusingly and ironically, those same words, actually with different meaning, can be wonderfully helpful. You know, to accept the Jesus of A Course in Miracles, which is a very different Jesus than the schizophrenic one that the formal religion of Christianity and many other religions, you know, with their symbols provide. And the Christ being, again, another symbol for the memory we took with us into the dream that restores non-duality to our mind by basically us as decision makers choosing against the insanity of the dream we made up, and then using every little bit of that to return to mindfulness and wholeness through the process of forgiveness. So we can take any biblical phrase and use that as a reminder, not in the context of how it's presented necessarily, but in the redefined context that relates to the non-dual metaphysics of the Course. And voila!
Mm-hmm.
Once again, everything, no matter what, can be part of our classroom of undoing the maladaptive solution to the non-existent problem, as Ken says.
Right. And I'm glad you used that word undoing, because once again, this is a course in undoing.
Yeah.
So that when we read the phrase born again, or we read a phrase forgiveness, salvation, we can choose a different definition. We can open our minds to undoing what we believe those things mean, mm-hmm. or undoing on a huge level, but
exactly.
Certainly undoing what we think those things mean. I mean, in fact, this is kind of an aside, but you know how my mind works. It's always going in multiple directions. You know, we reclaim.
Unlike anyone else?
Yeah, right. I just let it flow directly out my mouth, though. That's the difference, you know.
Well, I think we all do that at times. But,
you know. But you know, we redefine terms. And one for a long, long time that has always been one of my favorites is the difference between selfish and self-centered. Because I think if you look up the definition to self-centered, now if I said to you, oh, so-and-so was self-centered, I think you would assume that I was talking negatively about them. you know, that I was making a judgment. But if you look up the word self-centered, it means literally to draw from your own source, you know, to be centered in yourself. And I kind of, you know, elaborate on that by saying it's also about taking personal responsibility. So I kind of think if everybody was self-centered, we wouldn't have nearly as many problems as we do, you know?
Assuming that self is like you say, the capital S self, which includes everyone. And there's, and that's where the challenge of, as Ken Wapnick, you know, in so many ways and so many wonderful works that he's done, points out the challenge of that is to not exclude anyone or anything, you know,
right.
From the smallest quirk to the biggest quasar, you know, that and everything in between, you know, that if we leave one little particle, one little subatomic blip on the dream radar out of the forgiveness equation in our mind, then it doesn't balance, you know, it's bad math.
Right, exactly. Which I think towards the end of this, you know, we kind of get into that as well, that, you know, you can't leave anything out. Mm-hmm. This piece that he's talking about, the healing that he talks about, like with the bird's wing or, you know, the stream that starts flowing, you know, it's about every single thing. It's not about just saying, I'm going to kind of fix my part of the world as if I could.
Right.
You know,
right. Damn, so you want to try, though.
Yeah, we keep trying. Do you want to read the next paragraph?
Certainly. I rest in God. Completely undismayed, this thought will carry you through storms and strife, past misery and pain, past loss and death, and onward to the certainty of God. There is no suffering it cannot heal. There is no problem that it cannot solve. And no appearance but will return, excuse me, no appearance but will turn to truth before the eyes of you who rest in God. That's a pretty definitive statement there.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that's immune to the truth.
Right.
That's actually very comforting. But then that brings up our resistance to the truth, which is what the Course is so much about, is asking us to gently look at why we would want to be masochists and miserable and suffer. and to notice that, oh yeah, by the way, we are, as long as we identify with the little s self and are self-centered in the way that has some little part of the cosmos as self and it excludes anyone else. So, you know, there we go, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I was just thinking the next lesson, 110, is I am as God created me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, I think it is. And it's a repeat of a lesson that we have already done. Mm-hmm. And once again, when you say the little s versus the big s in terms of the self, that we're just always, you know, we just always have to keep being drawn back from the hologram, from this idea that we are not the body. We are not this individual person, that we are something else.
Right. And the irony again is that we need to use every little bit of the hologram.
Yeah.
Not that we have to every moment, you know, and condemn ourselves if we forget, but we have the opportunity to use every single seeming feedback as a reminder that it's really just a reflection of a choice we've made in the mind, to then mindfully choose against the interpretation of separate interests and separation, and use shared interests to expand our definition of self, you know, at a pace that's comfortable to us, where it eventually does become the big S self. So I think that's where the shared interests become the gateway idea to the oneness, because, you know, we, as the Course says, we can't really grok oneness joined as one. That's just,
no. Yeah.
You know, it sounds pretty, you know, and sure, it feels right, but in terms of, you know, getting it on an experiential level, that's not the goal of the Course. That's the goal is to lead us to the threshold of that. But the way we do that is through not skipping over steps and moment by moment looking at the things that annoy us or that irritate us or that seem like, you know, we want to make differences important. Things, some things better than others, and some people better than others or worse than others, and including ourselves, and you know, the endless comparisons and divisions and schisms, and you know, from People's Front of Judean People's Front to if you're a Monty Python fan, to you know, political bickering, to you know, gender and racial and global and ecological, you know, just the end. There's no end to the ways in which we've contrived to make this hologram a propaganda machine for the ego, but we can use every single little bit of it as a way to return to that peace,
Right.
to return to that rest in God.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and I'm not going to go into the details, but what she was talking about just reminded me, and I said to her, I said, this isn't going to comfort you, but I said, this is nothing new. This has been going on for thousands of years. And I said, I know that's not comforting to hear because we'd like to think we can fix it. I said, but maybe that's kind of the point. We can't fix that. That's we're continually trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. We're continually trying to fix the world, and we're not going to. I mean, we can certainly make a few things more comfortable, and I don't think we need to just throw up our hands and say, okay, give into it. But we're always working at a level of surface or on the physical level, and that's not where we need to be making the changes.
Yeah, and that's another important reminder to go into any time that we read the Course or apply non-dual metaphysics, is that, like Ken Wapnick says, you can't stray too far from the principles of the non-dual
Right.
metaphysics, and that it really is all about the mind. And if we can remember that this is this entire book, Course in Miracles, is directed completely and only to the decision-making faculty in the mind that chooses between ego, which is the unfortunate default, but the fortunate part is it doesn't have to be, and what the Course calls the Holy Spirit or Jesus as a symbol, that reminds us that we can choose that inner kindness teacher to reinterpret and actually maybe deinterpret and let the reality that's behind it come through in each moment, and that gives us in a practical way, again, that's where we stop condemning ourselves or someone else, and magically that relationship changes, or we suddenly have an awareness that there's a different way to look at things, and sometimes that's practical, and that we expand the scope of our ideas if we're not completely focused on the what's in it for me, little tiny little molecular sized arena in the cosmic ocean of possibilities. If we can expand our thinking by trusting that inner kindness teacher, suddenly we realize that we have a lot more ideas to choose from, even on a practical, pragmatic level.
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. So I'm going to continue with the reading. This is the day of peace. You rest in God, and while the world is torn by winds of hate, your rest remains completely undisturbed. Yours is the rest of truth. Appearances cannot intrude on you. You call to all to join you in your rest, and they will hear and come to you because you rest in God. They will not hear another voice than yours because you gave your voice to God, and now you rest in Him and let Him speak through you. And once again, it's what you're saying. I mean, the truth is, the form is not necessarily going to change. The world itself is not necessarily going to change, but to me, this is the reassurance. Once again, every day, every moment, if you can just come with whatever's going on and rest in God, then you don't have to let your peace be disturbed. You don't have to believe all the pieces of the hologram.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of choice, moment to moment, isn't it? That we can choose which teacher, and that's really the only relationship we have. A lot of course students talk about having a holy relationship with a specific person or an unholy relationship with a person or thing, and I think to his credit, yet another example of Ken's brilliance, he says, well, there really is only one relationship, and that's with the thought system of the Holy Spirit or the ego. And everything else is just a projection of that decision in the mind. And remembering that, we can learn to generalize and realize that, wow, this I'm either choosing peace and the kindness that is associated with that, or I'm choosing fear in any given moment.
Well, and the other thing I remember Ken said about this lesson, which I so appreciate because it's me all over the place. And he says, you don't have to leave the world. You know, you don't have to go up on the mountaintop. I mean, you know, this isn't about, okay, I'm going to go on a retreat. I'm going to withdraw from the world because that's where I'm going to find peace. This lesson is the reminder, you don't have to leave the world to find the peace. That, once again, is really believing in form. But within what you believe is hate, what you believe is turmoil, within this, that's your choice. Is that in those everyday moments to turn and choose, to choose peace, to choose to see it another way. So you don't have to leave to get it, which is what I want to do, you know. If I could just shut all this out, you know.
And that's the last thing we usually want to admit, that the form is irrelevant, but the content of the mind is everything. And you know, elsewhere in the course it says, you know, peace of mind is not a little gift. But that's not, ego doesn't like to hear that, because we, you know, our egos say, well, yeah, but I want the world to be such and such, you know, and I want it thus, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Shall I read the next
But
one?
yeah,
Okay,
please.
we're on five, four.
Yeah, in him, I
Oh,
think
yeah,
is
on
the
five.
next one.
Okay.
Yeah.
In him you have no cares and no concerns, no burdens, no anxiety, no pain, no fear of future, no past regrets.
Yeah,
Sounds good, doesn't
really. Good luck with that, huh?
it? But that's really the ultimate outcome
Yeah.
of getting to that threshold of choosing that peace consistently that the course is directed toward, isn't it? In timelessness you rest while time goes by with its touch upon you, for your rest can never change in any way at all. That's the truth of us, isn't it? You rest today, and as you close your eyes, sink into stillness. Let these periods of rest and respite reassure your mind that all its frantic fantasies were but dreams of fever that has passed away. The dreams of fever that has passed away. Let it be still and thankfully accept its healing. No more fearful dreams will come now that you rest in God. Take time today to slip away from dreams and into peace.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, one of the images that I got when I was reading the course, and I don't know if it was with this lesson or if it was the beginning of chapter 15, that's also one of my favorites, and I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly, but it says, "Can you imagine what it means to have no anxiety, to have no stress?" And I remember when I read that, I said, "No, I can't imagine, but I want to." And you know, once again, I was just so struck by that is, wow, can you imagine what it means to have no anxiety, to have no stress, and to just be at peace all the time? And the image that came to me is from that movie, Sybil. I don't know if you remember the old movie with Sybil. I think it was it with Patty Duke and Joanne Woodward, maybe? You know, it was an old movie, but in any case, Joanne Woodward, or whoever was the therapist, asked her, she said, come sit in the big chair with me. Just come sit in the chair with me. And that is such a powerful image. You know, just come sit in the chair with me. And I remember, or oftentimes when I read that first part of chapter 15, or when I hear this lesson, that's what I think of. You know, it's as if that's it. That inner kindness teacher is just saying, come sit in the chair with me. You know, just come sit on my lap, come sit beside me. Let's just think this through together. You know, and that's to me, that is the rest of God, you know. Let's quit with all the, you know, but this and this and this and this. Just come sit in the chair with me. And so that's the image that I always get in it. It's kind of weird. It comes from the movie Sybil, but you know, there again, that just stuck with me. That's because it's a feeling. It's a feeling. What does it feel like to have this person who cares and is telling you're safe, everything's okay, and they're saying, just come sit with me.
And it could be a movie, it could be a place that you've been to, it could be a statue of Kuan Yin, it could be a
Yeah.
you know a flavor of incense or a fragrance of a flower, or it could be a memory of walking on a particular beach. All those things, all those specifics can be used as reminders. So there's nothing wrong with using those. But eventually we'll tire of the realization that if we make those special and try to make those the contingencies on which our peace rests, then we're basically kidding ourselves, because we're saying, okay, now once again, I've fallen into ego's trap of thinking that a specific is going to be a substitute for the peace that really is a representation. You know, that those symbols represent, and we want the piece. You know, we want as the Course says, we want the whole song and not just the notes.
Right.
We want the complete wholeness of a piece that could not possibly be challenged or questioned or threatened throughout eternity, and it's beyond space and time, and we know that that's possible. I think everyone, even the most you know, deluded souls that, you know, think that, you know, it's all about what's in it for me, and which really kind of is, you know, in a sense, like Ken says, you know, nice people don't come here.
Right.
Which is, you know, because, and not to be, you know, derogatory to anybody, but the idea that our egos are not nice, and everybody has one, but that's not our real self. And that's the fake ID, the identity thief that we've invested in, that we can slowly but surely disinvest our identity from, and then find that peace that's there all along is waiting for us, and that rest that is there has never been absent from our minds. We've just chosen to clutter it with our anxieties and our issues and our contingencies.
Right. Yeah. Right. So let's go on, because these next two paragraphs, of course, are my very favorite.
Okay. Oh, of course.
Each hour that you take your rest today, a tired mind is suddenly made glad. A bird with broken wings begins to sing. A stream long dry begins to flow again. The world is born again each time you rest, and hourly remember that you came to bring the peace of God into the world, that it might take its rest along with you. And I'm going to continue to the next one. With each 5 minutes that you rest today, the world is nearer waking, and the time when rest will be the only thing there is comes closer to all worn and tired minds too, or rather, too weary now to go their way alone. They will hear the bird begin to sing and see the stream begin to flow again, with hope reborn and energy restored to walk with lightened steps along the road that suddenly seems easy as they go. And of course, this is where I want to get so hooked into it. I mean, I can so see that bird, you know, and I can so see that stream. But it's the idea of it that, you know, and what I love about this too, and I think, I mean, I hope I'm not taking it, you know, out of context, but as we grab onto that piece, as we're able to do that, because we are of one mind, I think it's like it literally does flow from us to others as well. And no, it's not so much that they see the bird with a broken wing fly or whatever, but our own peace, literally like love, radiates into the minds of other people. And not even just the minds of the people that we're near. It literally, you know, we're tying into, you know, it's not mass consciousness. That's not quite it. But that somehow we are literally, you know, bringing peace to the world, bringing healing by, you know, because we're tying into that one thought system.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a few words that kind of come to mind is transpersonal and you know, the collective, but it's a universal awareness that we all share, but we're not used to thinking in those terms because we're so enamored with specifics and our individual stories and our, you know, seemingly unique personas and bodies and histories and narratives and so those things are the big deals of our life. But we can kind of look with greater and greater amusement while still participating in those, but just not identifying so much with them as we go along, and just you know, cultivating a gentle inner smile that says, yeah, this story that you know, relates to this character that I see in the mirror is just a story. And because of that, I don't have to be attached to it. And yet I can use every single specific, whether it's a movie or it's this poetic prose here about birds and streams and whether it's flowers and sunsets and you know, whatever it happens to be, whatever the things that trigger as a mnemonic device or a memory jog are, those can be wonderful helpers, but you don't put the helper on a shrine. You basically say thank you, and then the classic quote that has been around for years, decades, probably centuries, millennia. You don't worship the finger. You look where it's pointing to.
Right.
And that's, I think, where the course is on these two levels, and it's so easy to engage in level confusion if we're not mindful and think, oh, it's about the specific. No, it's really, it's all of this is pointing to the collective, the universal, the essence that we all share. And so even though we use one specific, like you say, your specific might be that something from that movie Sybil, and for me it might be another movie that I like, but the fact that we're tuning into the idea that's behind it is that shared interest.
Yes.
So I think we can, again, use those specifics as the classroom to forgive our belief in differences and our mind's choice for separation that wasn't working, and then choose the real alternative, as the course points out.
Right. And I think we have time maybe to read one more paragraph. And I think this goes to where you're talking about not excluding. You rest within the peace of God today and call upon your brothers from your rest to draw them to their rest along with you. You will be faithful to your trust today, forgetting no one, bringing everyone into the boundless circle of your peace, the holy sanctuary where you rest. Open the temple doors and let them come from far across the world, as near as well, your distant brothers and your closest friends. Bid them all enter here and rest with you. And so once again, I mean, to me, what a wonderful symbol. And of course, it's not about opening the doors of the church or the temple, but just recognizing we're all, on a hard road. We all need the rest. And open the doors wide and open and allow everyone to come. Exclude no one.
That is such an important point. Yeah, because if we remember to be kind and find the joy in sharing and having fun with everyone we meet, and in a way that's supportive. You may not be something that is, you might be in a situation that's more somber, but to be supportive and helpful and caring in a way that others can relate to, that's really the practicing the course. That's basically saying, I no longer value separate interests above shared interests. And
yes,
I'm willing to put shared interests first. And that's when it's fun. And that's when the suffering and a lot of times if you pay attention, at least I find that the aches and pains of personal identification seem to melt away, or at least are suspended during those moments of transpersonal awareness.
And yes,
that's fun. And that's peaceful too. I mean, peacefulness doesn't mean on the level that we think we're at, that everything is, a dark cave and no sound, and, we're not somewhere in some remote, monastery or something where there's no sensory input or a flotation tank or something like that. It doesn't have to be that. It can be like, Helen and Bill in New York City. It can be in the busiest place, but we will return to that place of quiet and solace and true comfort that's based on an internal awareness that we all have in our minds. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and I was kind of thinking, this is maybe a little aside, but once again, you know how my mind goes. I was thinking about years ago, one of my sisters was kind of upset about something another sister had done, and it had to do with Facebook. You know how Facebook is. But anyway, it had to do with something, and anyway, one of my sisters was just really upset, and it was then a month or two later, and she referred to it again to me, and I said, well, what does it matter? And I mean, come to find out, I guess this is the simplest version of it. Something that had gone on was really targeting me and another sister, but I hadn't interpreted that way. I didn't think it had anything to do with me. So my peace of mind was perfectly okay. I wasn't upset.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the other sister was really, really upset about what was going on. And I just thought that's kind of that perfect example of, it doesn't matter what really happened. It's what your interpretation of it is.
Exactly.
And it's sort of like, I didn't see it as personal at all. I didn't see it as having anything to do with me. And so I never gave it another thought.
Yeah, that ties into one of Don Miguel Ruiz's four agreements: never take anything personally, which I think is actually a really good advice. And that, the only way that works though is if we slowly but surely disidentify with the person and that story and that narrative, and then begin to really allow the universal identity that we all share to be the replacement for the ego substitute, and that's where. Then you can afford to not take anything personally.
Yeah, right.
If you have a different identity that isn't a person.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's
takes a lot of practice, of course.
Right, because, of course, the reason that was an aside is because I truly just hadn't interpreted it as probably as it was intended. You know, so in some ways I was kind of being obtuse, but you're right. You know, it's like if you don't self-identify with the ego, or to the extent that we can stop doing that, you know, stop being, you know, attending to the specialness, then we, you know, it's not hard to deny those things. It's not hard to see shared interests because we're not as identified with separateness. You know, my body, my house, my car, my special Kuan Yin statue, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's an everyday thing, which is once again why this particular lesson is so good. It says every single day, this is what you can do. You can be born again. You can choose peace. You can choose to rest your mind and to choose another way.
Exactly. It's simultaneously inspirational and very pragmatic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope everybody will read this lesson for yourself. It's such a beautiful lesson, and take from it what you can get. And, you know, I guess I shouldn't be making one lesson more special than the others, right?
I think we can forgive that.
Okay, I'll forgive that. I think this lesson is more special than the others. So, Bruce, thank you so much for joining me today. And before we leave, or before we wrap up, do you have anything else that you'd like to announce? Thank you for the mention of that website. Do you want to mention that again?
Sure. That's myacim.com/awake. And you can make a profile there and you know, network with other course students and teachers. And we're all both, of course. You know, there's groups and book forums and all kinds of cool stuff. And of course, the other two, you know, the sibling, you know, parent sites, of course, to mention are the acim.org and facim.org for the Foundation for Inner Peace and the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. And those two sites have tremendous resources. And there's lots of great sites online as well that people might enjoy. And I try to share things, including our conversations with folks on acimblog.com. So,
right. And I will post all of these in the chat room, because Bruce can be reached at that www.acimblog.com. Thank you for offering that to us today, Bruce.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Anything else?
That's plenty. Thanks,
okay.
NCA. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. And I want to thank all the listeners and to everybody who came into the chat room and participated that way. And thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver. And I'd like to remind you that you can always find me on my other radio show on Tuesdays, which is Simple Tales. And that's at 10 a.m. Pacific here on 1-2 Radio, where we talk about astrology and sometimes tarot and any number of other illusions in this world. And you can also reach me on 12listen.com as an advisor. But for today, I hope that you will just stick around and maybe get yourself a snack or another cup of coffee or tea, and be ready for the other live programming that we have here on 12 Radio. The next show is The Through Line with Christine Dumaurier. And I like to call this Fabulous Fridays, you know, starting with this particular show. So thanks for joining me today. And until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and with my guest, Bruce Rawls, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.